Good day and welcome to the Vienna International Airport conference call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Judith Hellini. Please go ahead, madam.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the conference call for the Q1 presentation. The presentation will be held by our board members, as usual, and it will be followed by the Q&A session. The slide can be downloaded from the homepage, and the replay will be available most probably tomorrow in the morning by the latest noon. And now I would like to hand over to Mr. Ofner. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good morning to anybody. We published our results for the first quarter today, and in general, as you saw, we could report very good results, and we are also in the position to improve our outlook for full year 2018. We also received recently a positive decision of the second instant court for our project of the third runway. But this does not mean that anything will happen in short term, because as expected, the opponents appeal against these decisions, and the Constitutional Court and the Supreme Administrative Court will have to deal with the issue, and nobody can really foresee how long this procedure will take and what finally the outcome will be. So if somebody of you or anybody of you raises the question, what is the effect of this decision? There is no immediate effect, except that we have to deal with the legal issues, and everything we said so far is still valid. The better guidance is based on the good development in regard of passenger numbers, especially in Malta and Košice, but also in Vienna. You see group plus 9% and Vienna plus 6.6%. Malta at 19.4, Košice at 19.9. And what is very important to understand, the effects of this growth, you will see that revenue overall increased by 2.1%. But if you look at the aviation revenues, you should have in mind that some parts of the incentives that have been part of marketing and communication costs are now included in airport revenues. So this would have to be added if you compare it with the first quarter of 17, and it's in total 2.9 million that has been previously booked in other positions. EBITDA is up 6.9% to 64.8 million. EBIT improved by 28.1% and net profit by 35.3%. Part of that is also an extraordinary result in from the sale of land nearby the airport. clearly we could slightly further reduce our net debt position. And in regard of passenger guidance for 2018, we now expect 6% or more here in Vienna, or 8% plus for the group. And this is based on the knowledge we have so far for the plans of the airlines, and especially for the summer schedule. Revenue should be above 770 million. EBITDA should exceed 350 million. And net profit should be more than 148 million. And some of you also raised the question of cash flow development, but I will come back to that a little bit later. A major reason for the substantial improvement of the profitability still is strict cost management, and although we saw a slight decrease of EBITDA margin in 17, which was mainly triggered by the new agreement with Lufthansa Group, compared Q1 to 17 to Q1 18, shows a further improvement of EBITDA margin, and we are still working in all parts of our operations to have strict cost controls. The one-off effect I already mentioned, this is the deal with DHL. They bought a piece of land nearby our airport, and this was finalized recently, so it is part of the first quarter. So the effect was 3 million from this deal. You see also the improvement in the financial results, and this will slightly accelerate throughout the year, because the next repayment of a 25 million installment for the EIB loan will take place very soon, so beginning of June. And the EIB case is still in court procedure, so we appealed against the decision of the first instance. Again, it's very tricky to expect when the next instance will decide. I would say most likely will take another 12 months unless we can expect their decision. I already covered the cost issue. What is important, not only for the period of 2018, but also for the years to come, is that we had, as we think, a very successful negotiation with our trade unions. So the wage increase in Vienna for the period 1st of May 18 to end of April 19 is 1.3%, which is very much below the average of the rate agreed in Austria in this round of wage negotiations. this is due to the fact that we added five more days to the vacations. But most of these we can harvest by productivity gains. So the real effect will be much lower than the roughly 3% that have been in average agreed for other parts of the Austrian economy. So from a long-term perspective, this should also support our improvements in regard of productivity and should be somehow lowering long-term also our personal costs. I already covered the issue of net debt position. The reduction was 33.8 million since end of 2017. And if the development we see now goes on, we should end up below 250 for a full year. What you should have in mind, again, is that the environmental fund will have to be liquidated later this year, and this will reduce the cash position by something of 60 million plus. The deviation in cash flow from operating activities compared to last year is simply attributable to changes in payout, especially in regard of the incentives. So for the full year, we expect growth in our operating cash flow, and this first quarter result is no indication at all that we would see a change in the development of our cash flow. So this would be misleading to expect that. Free cash flow will be slightly damaged by the fact that we increase our capex, but I think should also be on a comfortable level for the full year. Gearing, self-explaining, is going down, and looking slightly ahead is that even if we start our investment program for the thermal improvement for Office Park 4, our net debt position will not very substantially deteriorate, so most of it can be financed from our cash flow. The share price development still, I think, is positive. I think that the expectations in regard of a dilution of airport revenues are not correct. We are not expecting a further dilution of our airport revenues, as some might expect. On the contrary, all the agreements are in a way that these incentives will be step by step melting down, at least part of it in the years to come. So we are not expecting a further reduction of revenues per passenger from aviation. In total, besides the part of airport revenues, we are already working on the project Office Park 4, so the groundbreaking ceremony was just recently, and all the other projects are well on the way. So the search for potential investors for a third hotel, the preparatory work for our new health center, and we are in very intensive negotiations with several well-known international companies who are keen to settle down nearby our airport, and we will inform you step by step once we have agreed the contracts. So again, the outlook for 18 is, from our perspective, very encouraging and fine. So revenues should be above 770, EBITDA above 350, our net income should be above 148, net debt below 250, and CapEx should stay around 170. Five, including environmental fund payout that is expected in the following month. So that's it from my side, and I hand over to Julian.
Thank you, Günther. Good afternoon or good morning, ladies and gentlemen. A few more details now from my side. I would like to start with the segment airport. We saw the positive traffic development continuing, plus 6.6% growth in passenger volume. External revenue was growing by 2.2%. And as Günther said, there are around 2.5 million euros which were shifted from the cost side in terms of marketing costs to the revenue. So you have to take this into account, and this effect attributed as well to the positive EBITDA and EBIT development in this segment. EBITDA was up by 10% to 30.3 million, EBIT 9.9 million, more than doubling of the EBIT of 4.7 million last year. I would like to elaborate a bit on what Günther said in terms of revenue per passenger in the segment airport. As I said in the last and probably in the one before as well, we expect that the revenue per passenger from the segment airport will be somewhere between €14.50 and €15 in 2018. And as Günther said, it's degressive. So for every passenger, which is a new passenger this year, we will get a certain amount of euros next year more. So it depends a lot on growth. And if we have moderate growth, we will increase our revenue per passenger in this segment. If we have exceptional high growth, yes, it might well be that we have a decrease in the revenue per passenger. But my best guess for 2019 would be if we are somewhere below 4% growth, we will have an increase in our revenue per passenger. If we are above 6% or somewhere close to 10%, in that case, yes, we would have a decrease in the revenue per passenger. So it depends a lot on the growth. But overall, I think it's a good investment. And we will see in the years, which at one point in the future will come again, where we see moderate growth, that you will see the reverse effect of what we are seeing today in terms of the decrease in revenue per passenger. So for 2018, everything is essentially as expected. I will come later on into the traffic, but still, I think we have a very high unusual uncertainty about the traffic development in 2018. There are still a lot of rumors out in terms of Anisec, a Vueling subsidiary, which might start operations mid-July with a significant number of five aircraft. But yet nothing is announced. Just yesterday we had an announcement of Laudamotion, very significant base from winter on with eight aircraft. The net effect might be a bit less. Our best guess today is, as we announced, there will be an increase of 6% passengers this year. But if Anisec comes, if Laudamotion does better in terms of passengers, then we expect we might be forced in the months to come to increase this again. And again, the outlook for next year is obviously still very positive because with eight aircraft from Laudamotion now from winter onwards, we would have a full year 2019 operating of Laudamotion, plus the increase to 5%, five aircraft from Wizz Air, plus whatever Anisec might come out to do, and I would not be surprised if there's a reaction from Lufthansa Group as well. So we are very positive for 2018, but we think we will see significant growth in 2019 as well. Handling and security services, we had a good quarter here, I think, external revenue plus 2.6%. Cargo handling plus 7.6, security service plus 3.1. We had a good de-icing season, and EBIT grew from 2.5 to 2.6 million, plus 5%. But overall, I think a good result, given the fact that we already see the new contract with Lufthansa Group in place, where we saw quite a significant decrease in revenues from this contract. So I think overall we've started to digest this new contract, and to add on what Günther said about our collective agreement, one part of the agreement is as well that we will be in a position to significantly be more flexible in how we use our staff. And this is something which will not affect us probably in 2018 immediately, but over the years to come, this will make our handling operations much more efficient, and therefore we expect some cost gains in the years to come from this agreement. Yeah, retail and properties. Retail is not only in Vienna, but I think at many airports right now, a bit of a problem. Shopping and F&B was up 3.1%. Here are down roughly by 3%. Rental income more or less unchanged. Parking on the same levels as well. But I think we had a very good April here. So overall we are not worried about parking for the full year. In terms of retail, we had a bad April, and as far as I'm informed, I think you see this trend in Frankfurt, in Copenhagen, in Amsterdam, in Hamburg, and a number of other German airports as well. I think duty free is under pressure, and we saw very negative effects in Vienna from the UK passengers, from passengers to Russia. The only positive effect we saw from China, which is fortunately growing, but still I think we see a mix now here, growing low cost presence in Vienna, strong euro, so there's a mix of effects which will make it difficult to achieve our goals in terms of TRR. F&B does still well. We had more than 5% growth in the first quarter, but probably when we are reporting our 6 month results, we will have to decrease our target for the PRR. Overall, for the development, I'm still positive. I think we will see not only in retail but overall in terms of airport operations a rocky 2019 till end of 2021, when we are doing the terminal refurbishment. We will have to close Pier East for 2 years. We will have and that at the time when there's a huge traffic increase, so this will obviously not help PRR, but I think starting from end of 2020, we will see extremely positive effect in the old part of the terminal, because then the security control will be before the duty-free shop. Right now it is after, and this is the area where we have strong growth. Penetration is significantly lower than in the other part. So midterm, I think we will see the positive effect we expect. Short term, we will have probably difficult 24 months. To add on, because I think there was a question on ground handling, I expect that this year our share in ramp handling will be around 85%. There are still contracts out and there are tenders out, so it's not entirely decided who will get which low-cost carriers. We have not taken the Wizz contract. We would have had to pay to ground handle Wizz. There was extremely low prices, and we decided not to go for it. Still, regardless of that, we will have roughly a market share of 85%. Malta. This was probably a bit of a surprise to you, but this should not change your judgment on Malta for the full year. In Malta, the management has decided to do an incentive for winter traffic to support the tourism industry in Malta for the winter season. This is why you see essentially this incentive effect in only in the first quarter. You won't see these extraordinary effects in quarters 2, 3, and 4. So overall, the results in Malta will look significantly better than they did in Q1. There's no reason to be worried in any way about the operation in Malta. As I said, it's a one-off effect which hit the weak Q1. Over the next three quarters, this effect will be diluted, and Malta will bring the results, the expected results. We see a moderate rise in the cost level. We will further invest in the terminal to increase the duty-free shop significantly. We will see there some positive effects in terms of retail in the future. And the positive effect as well was that in the first quarter we got the approval for the master plan, and we will continue the landside expansion of the airport city in Malta. Kosice was doing well in the first quarter, unfortunately, and this is an effect we will see from May onwards. We lost the Wizz base, but on the other hand, we got Eurowings to start one or two additional destinations in Germany. So midterm, the outlook is positive again, and there won't be a significant impact on the financial results. But as I said, the growth we saw in the first 3 or 4 months in Kosice will not continue at this pace. Yeah, I think you saw the traffic results. I won't use too many words for the Q1 traffic results. I think what is interesting, the growth in Q1 was driven mainly by Lufthansa Group. You saw an increase of 17% passenger numbers. This will change in the quarter to come, because we still saw the Air Berlin Niki effect in Q1, where Eurowings Austrian and mainly EasyJet were growing. Turkish is doing again very well. Vueling was growing significantly, but the big push from low cost will follow now essentially from July onwards, and that's why we expect traffic figures to be significantly increased in the second half of 2018. April was the expected effect of Easter, plus 2.2%, so some nothing extraordinary to be expected. And as I said, we are very positive that we will have an increase of 6% in Vienna, at least 8% in the group. But depending on the developments from Laudamotion with the Anicet, it could be that in August, when we talk about our H1 results, we would increase our forecast here again. One thing which is not so much important in terms of the absolute numbers, but very important in terms of retail and in terms of our strategic positioning is long haul. Austrian just started now for the summer season Tokyo, and they will start in winter with Cape Town. We've got, I think, five or four additional weekly flights to Taipei from EVA Air and China Airlines. We will have, from October onwards, Hainan Airlines. We will Air India increased a frequency to Delhi. Ethiopian increased three frequencies to Addis. Thai, they just started in November, but added another flight to five weekly flights. We will get Saudi starting from June four times a week to Jeddah via Riyadh, and fly Nas two times a week to Riyadh. So all these things should contribute to our retail sales. And as I said, just yesterday there was an announcement of Laudamotion, and this should go on sale today for eight planes, mainly destinations, sun and sea destinations. We will have five aircraft in 2019 in Vienna. So overall, a very positive development. And Far East doing very well, plus 30% so far. And I'm optimistic that in the years to come, or in 2019, we will get the one or other additional route to East Asia. So overall, I think the outlook here is very good. A last comment. What is important as well, that there's a trend reversal for starts and landings. So we see, we look at the 5% increase in terms of flight movements here in Vienna. I expect something similar next year. So the thing is happening, what we said now in the last few years, that at one point passenger growth will have to come from aircraft movement growth as well, and it's not possible to increase passenger numbers all the time by bigger planes and higher loads. So I think this is overall a positive development. That's it from our end, and now we're happy to answer your questions.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you are using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, press star 1 to ask a question. We'll pause for just a moment to allow everyone an opportunity to signal for questions. We will now take our first question from Stephanie Das from RBC. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning. I have three questions, please. The first one is regarding your full year guidance for Vienna Airport of 6% and the potential to increase it. Could you please walk us through the impact from Laudamotion, how many planes they have, how many they add, and how many extra seats offered you believe that could be? And maybe specify a little bit if you've only be speaking with Laudamotion, or if Ryanair getting into Laudamotion's capital, they have been a bit more involved in the discussions. My second question is regarding retail spend per head. So you mentioned April was a tough month, and that is true across the board for peers as well. What are your expectations towards the rest of the year? And then my third question relates to the receivables from the incentive. So could you let us know what you expect for the full year, if you would expect receivables to increase significantly at year end? Thank you very much.
To start with your first question, Lauda Motion just announced yesterday that they will base 8 aircraft in Vienna starting from winter. So the effect on this year will be not that significant because they will start at the end of October. But there will be very significant effect, obviously, next year. We are discussing with Lauda Motion, but obviously Ryanair is present in the background. We won't feel the presence of Ryanair, obviously, and I'm pretty convinced that they will soon take over 75%. So now they've got 25%. They will soon go up to the 75% after approval from the EU Commission. But the operation, or at least this is what we are told, the operation will be separate. It will be a separate airline, a separate AOC, a separate fleet. They're flying Airbus. So it's not directly connected with the Bratislava operation of Ryanair. And this is what Ryanair is saying as well, that this is completely independent. They will start from October 22 new destinations. From Tenerife, Seville, Rome, Palma, Marrakesh, Malaga, Madrid, Stansted, Palma, Larnaca, Lanzarote, Krakow, Copenhagen, Fuerteventura, Faro, Dublin, Bucharest, Bologna, Bergamo, Beauvais, Paris, Barcelona and Amman. So I think there will be quite an overlap. Oh, the interesting thing to note is that there's not a lot of overlap with Austrian or Lufthansa. There is some overlap with Eurowings, a bit of overlap with Wizz, and what is reported, I could imagine that obviously Vueling with their Spain strength, there would be a bit of overlap as well. So I think the big question will be how Lauda Motion manages to fill these planes. And the even more important question will be what is ANISIC doing? When will they start? When will they announce? And how full will be the flights in 2018? So in terms of the 6%, I think the 6% are pretty safe. I think it's safe to say we are very confident that we will have the 6% growth. If ANISIC is turning out to start in July and then get decent loads, if Lauda manages to sell the seats, yeah, we might see a significant increase on top of the 6%. But this is something which is too early to judge. And
so the 6% is for this year, but you are not giving any outlook for 2019 yet, right?
I mean, I think usually you see how difficult it was to judge 2018, and still it's moving. So I think whatever we would say about 2019 definitely would be wrong today. But what we are saying is, we are very optimistic about 2019 because whatever starts now, we will have see 12 months of next year, but we will not start to guide that early in the year for the year to come. But, I mean, usually we would refrain completely to comment about 2019 at this stage. We are optimistic for 2019, very optimistic, but to which extent we will see growth in 2019, I think it's too early. And in terms of retail, you're right, April was bad, but I think, again, it's too early to give you a detailed new guidance on the PRR, because in the end we have to see now is this a trend which continues in May, June, July, and at the latest when we announce our half-yearly results, we will come out with a new guidance. I can tell you today that it will be very challenging to meet our last guidance, but too early to announce a new one.
Yeah.
And your last guidance was to keep the spend per head in line.
Yeah.
Last guidance was to keep the retail spend per head flat.
Yes, and I can tell you it will be very challenging, to say the least, but I think it's too early to come out with a detailed new guidance.
Thank you.
I think what you should have in mind in general is that our guidance for the net result includes all net factors. So once we give a guidance for the full year net result, it is including everything. So I don't think it is enlightening just to dig in on this or on that. In total, we give a clear guidance for our turnover and also the net income for 18. And this shows, I think, a very substantial improvement. And if we see even a better development on traffic, it could turn out that even this improved guidance would be somehow conservative. In regard of receivables, I think we are now in the process of normalization, because again, it's misleading just to look quarter on quarter, as it is in many other cases. Also, it's necessary to look at it. But if you go into the details, you have to know that last year, when we saw the problems in Air Berlin and Niki, the system was changed to prepayment. So they had to prepay for their operations, and now this effect evaporates, because now we don't see anybody close to bankruptcy, so now the normal form of payment kicks in, and therefore you see the deviation in receivables, but that's nothing to be worried about. It's simply normalization, because we don't get the same kind of prepayment that we asked for last year when we saw the economic difficulties rising for Niki and Air Berlin.
Thank you.
We will now take our next question from Bernd Maurer of RCB. Please go ahead.
Hello. Most of my questions have already been... Hello?
Yeah, hi.
Yes? Okay. Now I'm on. Most of my questions have already been answered before, but perhaps two smaller ones still. First, to all this guidance wording. You talked about the upside risk to your passenger guidance in light of the developments of Laudamotion and also Vueling in the second half of this year. Could this, a better development of those two carriers or others as well, also lead to a further increase of the financial guidance, or would you say that those effects are rather small? Sorry?
Yes.
Yes, okay.
The answer is yes.
Yeah, the answer is yes, I got it. Thank you. And a second point, to come back to the lower gastro and F&B revenues per passenger. You use, Mr. Jäger, you mentioned that it's a widespread phenomenon among European airports, that these numbers are lagging dynamics at the moment. You mentioned that a strong euro, which is obviously one reason for this, but what are other facts behind argue for lower than expected dynamics of the revenue per passenger in this line?
I think it's obviously a mix of effects. I think on the one hand, this is all over, it's the same in all over Europe, is growth from low-cost carriers, so the share of low-cost carriers is rising. People are traveling more often, but not necessarily buying each time when they are traveling. So if you visit your, aunt in Berlin, instead of two times per year, four times per year, you don't necessarily buy a perfume each time. So I think this is one effect which probably is all over the same. I think the strong euro is an effect which hits especially airports with an exposure towards Russia, towards Switzerland. We saw a very significant decrease in sales to the Swiss people, to the people from UK, Russia mainly. And if there are any, in our case, what we know as well is that we've got now a significant increase in Terminal 2, which means this is good for specialty retail, this is good for F&B, because we've got good offers there. This is not excellent for duty-free, because the security control is after the duty-free shop. This is something which will change in the foreseeable future, but right now this is an issue. So I think it's a mix of issues. If there's any further long-term impact, I think this is too early to judge. But what we see, and I think this is pretty much all over Europe the same, is that in the first few months of this year, there's a negative impact on sales per passenger.
But I think what anybody should have in mind is that the overall effect for our financial guidance is close to zero. So, I mean, if it's 4 or 5 cents more or less, you would not even find it if you look at our profit and loss account where this should occur. So we are discussing this problem, I think, on a very high sophisticated level. So overall, despite a decrease or a maybe decrease of several cents, it's still an increase in overall revenue and net result.
Yep, that's clear. Thank you very much.
Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1. We will now move to our next question from Jens Lockstop of PT Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello. This is Jens Lockstop calling.
Hi.
I'm representing some Danish investors, all holding the Vienna share. And I have a question about the dividend situation. As you know, we just had our dividend.
Yeah.
The situation as a Danish investor is that the tax authorities in Vienna are withholding some taxes on the dividends. And these taxes being withheld by the authorities, most of that we can get back later on by applying for that. It's a quite complicated process, and the process has the last half year or the last year been complicated a lot. We are now in a situation here in Denmark that some of the larger Danish banks have stopped working with this thing, working with getting back the tax refund from the Vienna authorities due to the complexness of this job. So when we get our dividend, we then get taxed as well in Denmark. And the thing is that it's not an optimal situation for an international investor. Many companies are doing it this way, that they are to some extent not just making dividend, but maybe reducing the dividend, and then instead having a share buyback program. And by having a share buyback program, there's absolutely no problem with the tax situation, because then we only taxed when we have the profit and we don't have to reply for some refunding. So my question is, would it be that you at some point of time would consider to convert some of the dividend to share buyback program instead?
Unfortunately, our free float is not very extensive, so by buying back shares, I mean, we would maybe negatively impact the liquidity. But what I can offer you is, and maybe we can come back to it outside of this call, is support with our authorities, and especially to give them the feedback that the procedures they apply are not investor friendly. What should in no case be in their interest. So thank you very much for the feedback, and we will deal with the matter, and maybe you can send us an email or call again later that we can dig in more deeply how we can support you.
Okay, thank you. Then I have some questions about the development in the earning. It's always nice with an upward adjustment, so thank you for that. But when I look at this first quarter, I really do get a feeling that we see an improved earning of 7.8 million around that level. But out of this, the 6.5 is really reduced interests, land sale, change in impairments or change in depreciation, while only around 1 million is really coming from the core business of flying with passengers. Only 1 million improvement is coming from that, even though we see a 6.6% increase in the number of PAX. And the way I see this as investor, the main question here, the big trigger is the question about incentives. And I'm not really sure I complete.
It's misleading because it's just a 3-month period, and as Mr. Jaeger explained, if you take the example of Malta, they introduced a new form of incentivizing their customers that especially address winter time. So I think what you want to see cannot be seen if you look at one quarter. So this this has to be looked at on a full year's scale, where all these plus and minuses effects are equalized. And from that perspective is the message you already heard and can count on, that the incentives are slightly but step by step melting down. So overall, the growth then will have a stepwise a higher impact also on net income. But if you look at the situation 1 year ago, our second biggest customer went bankrupt. And you cannot expect that within 12 months you can digest that and grow at 8% without any cost. I mean, that's totally out of any reality. Of course, you have to do a lot of work and also to incentivize other airlines to fill that gap. And we had to fill the gap of the second biggest customer who went bankrupt just 1 year ago. So from that perspective, I think it's an extraordinary success that we not only could fill that, but can even improve our profitability by filling that gap and grow even beyond this gap. But let's discuss it in more detail if you look at our full year's results, because 3 months are misleading. Yeah, you cannot really get out of it anything.
But please don't misunderstand me, and let me also say that we are very happy with the management and the way that you handled this situation last year. But it doesn't change the fact that I would like to understand completely the situation. So this is not a critic, it's just that And if we recall the January meeting we had, the telephone conference call in January, it was said that around 14.5 per passenger would be the revenue in 17 and also 18 and 19. That was what you stated in January.
Yeah.
Round. And you still expect that level?
Yes.
And just then just one last question about this to understand it. Earlier in this call, you said that if the number of the growth in packs was less than 4%, then you really expected an increase in the revenue being a little larger than this, because when the number of packs are growing only a little, then the incentives are smaller. So to understand this completely clearly, does that mean that in April, where we saw 2.2% growth in packs in Vienna, that in reality our revenue is growing more than the 2.2%?
No, I think we should sit down at one point and go through the details, because I think you have the wrong. It's not done on a monthly basis. So right now the traffic is coming, the growth is coming in the first quarter, is coming from airlines like Eurowings, Austrian, EasyJet. They are significantly higher incentivized than Air Berlin and Niki were at any point in time. And as Günther said, we had to replace 15% of our passenger numbers, and we are replacing now Air Berlin. They were full payers with airlines which get certain discount. So what I said before is that if I look to next year, if we would have next year moderate growth, the revenue per passenger would go up. Even this is, in detail, it's very difficult to calculate, because it always depends which airline is growing at which pace. So it's not straightforward, but the rule is, in general, if we have moderate growth, revenues should go up. If we have significant growth, revenues will go down. And
in average.
On average.
Not in absolute numbers. So yes. Don't mix. And I think this is what you might not see correctly. Don't mix average revenue with total revenue.
Yes. But the average revenue, if we have significant growth, goes down. So, as I said...
Could you be very specific? If it goes up 2.2... the number of packs in April. Does what you're saying, does this mean that the revenue goes up more or less?
Okay, it's April.
Look
at the full year.
It's not calculated the incentives are not calculated on a monthly basis.
I mean, it's the total volume
of 1 year, finally, where you make up the account. And the April is that Easter time last year was in April and this year in March. So on a month-to-month basis, you will always have specific effects that are influencing that, but you cannot interpret it in a way that this supports good business or not so good business, because Easter time always you have a lot additional traveling. So this was this year in March. We had 12-point-something% growth in March. You have 2 points in April. If you average these 2 months, you are exactly more or less in the range of the guidance. And then,
okay, thank you. Yeah, I understand. Thank you.
It appears there are no further questions at this time. I'd like to turn the conference back to your host for any additional or closing remarks.
Hi.
So as it seems there are no further questions, should any other topics arise later on, please feel free to get back to us. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for participating in our conference call. Goodbye.
This concludes today's call. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.